Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
He is Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Brian Scalabrine. Listen to him on Radio.com. Scal and pals, it's a must listen for NBA fans. Insider Calls always brought to you by Pennzoil, one of those made by natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Let's make them the gigantic interview.
Every weekday on 92.9's Jason and John Show, we have a special guest we call the Gigantic Interview. Presented by A-Team Roofing on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Scal, what's popping, man? Appreciate the time.
Man, was that game yesterday like a kick in the gut for you guys? I mean, I thought Memphis was going to make this run. They're going to be sitting there on the eighth seed, and they're going to get this play-in game. Now, I don't know. They have a tough schedule hit coming up, and they lost three straight games. So, I don't know. How do you guys feel about it?
Disappointed. I feel disappointed.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. For the teams like it's New Orleans, obviously Memphis is another one. Phoenix is another one. Sacramento, they haven't looked great, but they're another team. Like, you can't replicate what they're going through right now in the NBA regular season. So, in a way, this is eight games, eight playoff games. It's almost like a first-round series for them, and they're understanding what it takes and how hard it is to win in the NBA. And they're also understanding, it takes a while for NBA players to learn this, is when you start feeling good about yourself and things are going one way, next thing you know, your back is against the wall, you let go of the rope a little bit, now you're in a dogfight. So, you know, ultimately, the end result would be great for those guys to make the playoffs, but the end result is for them to learn their lesson, and that's what you're always striving to do with young teams.
Yeah, almost to the point that you just made, I almost feel like these games in particular, and maybe even these first three, four games where you're getting the best shot from those guys, certainly. More important to the growth of this team, you figuring out who can be a part of this nucleus going forward than necessarily a playoff series with the Lakers. That would be different in a regular year where you actually go out there and you face that home court environment of the Lakers. That won't matter here. So I almost think, Brian, that the lessons are almost more important right here in these games.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think for all these teams, I'm glad. Like, to me, Sacramento's not taking this as serious as the other teams are, but this is a good game tonight with Phoenix and the Clippers. And I think Phoenix is like, man, this is great. We got to win like six of the eight games to be in the conversation to get into this playing game. How great would that be for our team, for our organization, for the momentum? So, yeah, I think all those teams. New Orleans clearly they played differently with Zion coming back in the fourth quarter. And he clearly made a difference when he was out there. But if he didn't play, I think Memphis would have won that game. So it's all these teams are treating this like, all right, this is our playoff. We are in the playoff hunt right now. And once again, if you have a young team, that's all you can really ask for.
Yeah. Want to get your thoughts on Jaren Jackson Jr. because obviously the Grizzlies drafted him a couple of years ago. He's the modern four, the four of the future, and he shot the ball and lights out in the bubble. But there are some who have taken a little bit of an issue with the lack of rebounding. Two rebounds yesterday, seems to not be able to get more than three at a time. Is that overblown? Should he be rebounding the basketball more? Like, how do you sort of balance the fact that he's shooting the ball really well, but he's not, you know, in there inside getting many rebounds? How do you sort of balance that? Is that an issue? What should be done? What do you think?
Yeah, so the only way to really, truly gauge that, and we can all give our opinions and we can decide, you know, what a guy should get as far as the boards, but The only way to really truly gauge that is to somehow ask Taylor Jenkins the question of, and he probably won't give you a solid answer, or you could probably do your own research on synergy, which is, how many 50-50 rebounds is he missing? Because, listen, if he's on the perimeter and he's guarding Drew Holiday at the perimeter and a guy, takes a 15-footer after Holiday passes the ball, those are hard rebounds to get. No, it's not. We're not living in a typical big man era where big men are all by the basket eating up boards and guards are all at the perimeter, you know, getting assists. This is a very different game right now. He happens to shoot a lot of threes. He's great. It's great for floor spacing. So I wouldn't overreact to offensive rebounds. But if he is sliding in there and there's a chance for him to get a 50-50 ball, and that's where synergy would tell you these answers. There's a guy on the left of him, and it just comes down to who wants it more, who's more physical, who has the timing to go get it, and he's not getting those, then I'd say there's an issue. But the only way to really know that is to dive into it, because I tell you, there is more advantage to him stretching the floor for guys like Ja to turn the corner and open up the floor for everybody else. If he was in the basket and let's say he got you 5 rebounds, I mean, I give you a guy who doesn't impact winning whatsoever is Andre Drummond. He'll go get you 17, 18 rebounds, but most of the time he's sort of in the way and he doesn't provide the spacing that you need to win. His rebounding doesn't affect winning. And I was in Boston, like all these years covering a guy, Al Horford. Al Horford plays very similar to Jaren Jackson Jr., stretching the floor out. And Al Horford have games where he has 5 rebounds, but he'd also be a plus 10, a plus 11 during that time. So the only way to really to break that down is to go watch synergy and decide, like, how many 50-50 balls is he missing?
Did Zion look right to you, Scal? And how long a career is he going to have at that weight running on the front of his feet like that?
I don't know. That's a good question. And I think what else I was wondering when I was watching the game is, how much of the babying of Zion's going to go on? Like, oh no, his knee, and he's so big, and he jumps so high. We need to sit him out for another week. And it's like, if you start your career that way, I'm not sure that's like a positive way. Versus, a lot of NBA players, they start their career and they're just grinding, getting through, and trying to figure out ways. And listen, it doesn't always work out for most NBA guys. Some guys get hurt and they push too hard or whatever it is. But, what happens when Zion, because the NBA is the NBA. You tweak a knee and it happens, three times a month. And you tweak an ankle and that happens, three times a month as well. Every time that happens, you've got to sit out 2 weeks. And I think, they know, their medical staff knows. But when you watch him play, you wonder, like, man, is this team sustainable? Like, how long can he do this? How long can he just go up and overpower people? And I don't know the answer to that. I think when Zion came to the league and you started watching him, you're like, this is unlike any NBA player we have ever seen. And then how many times can you really say that? Everyone has a comparable. But with Zion, he is like a guy, like, we have never seen anybody play with this much force and power. And we'll have to see if it plays out. But the idea of him always having to miss games or be on minute restrictions if he has to leave the bubble for a couple of days, that's not a conducive environment for a guy who's going to play, deep into his, 30s or early 30s and still be effective on the athletic side. But once again, we've never seen a guy like him before.
Let's give him health the next few years. Do you like the way that team's put together with Ingram there? Can you see it operating together? Of course, we all love Drew Holiday and, Redick, the shooting, like parts of it. But the way they're currently constructed, can that be a successful nucleus? Lonzo leading the way at point guard.
Yeah. I don't know why they continue to disappoint. Maybe it's because Zion's in, the whole minute restriction thing, but – I don't think that. I think you can build off of Ingram, Zion, Lonzo. I think Drew Holiday, I think it's a good decision for them to keep him. And, he's younger. He's not as old as people think, just because he's been around forever. He's not like he's 30 years old or anything like that. So I think they can do some things with that. It's just the way I look at the Western Conference, like, you can have a really good roster and still be battling your butt off to make the playoffs. There are so many good teams. Look, if your Memphis Grizzlies were out east, they'd be a 4 seed right now. That's just how it
all
goes.
Yep.
It is so hard out west. I'm looking, I'm watching tonight, I'm gonna watch the Phoenix Suns play the Clippers, right? And I like the Phoenix Suns raw. I like DeAndre Ayton. They got D-Book. And you know, I'm like lukewarm on Rubio. I don't think he's as bad as everyone thinks he is, but, you know, I think he does a good job of facilitating, right? And then they have length and Miles Bridges. And so I'm watching this team, and I'm like, these guys are pretty good. They got a good roster. But then I started looking around the West, and I'm thinking, okay, so next season, we know the Golden State Warriors are going to be good, so just insert them. And we know Minnesota's still going to be bad. But, man, it is going to be a dog fight just to make the playoffs. Even if the Memphis Grizzlies made the playoffs this year, and they think, like, well, we made it last year, all we got to do is take that next step forward, it's going to be a dog fight for them to get an eighth seed next year. That's just the way it is out West. It's like two separate leagues that if they were out East, they would be a shoe-in. They would be fighting to get home court advantage from game number one. That's just the disparity between the two. And as much as I like New Orleans and the same situation, I like their team. But, man, go look around, man. The West is loaded. They have to have another perfect season for them to be in a dogfight to get into the playoffs the following year.
Yeah, no, it's true. We are, of course, talking to Brian Skyler, Radio.com, Sports NBA Insider. Insider Carl is always brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oil is made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. When Anthony Davis is playing like he did yesterday, and honestly the way he's been playing inside the bubble, how many teams are out there that can stop the Lakers? Because I know that the instinct is to say the Clippers, and that might be true with Montrezl Harrell, but the way I look at the Clippers is they were both to stop LeBron, and they largely did neutralize him in that matchup, though he still did make the plays that mattered the most. But I don't know how they're going to be able to do that with both him and Anthony Davis. So how many teams out there legitimately, when Anthony Davis is playing as well as he is, can stop them?
That's a good question, because I this is how I'm looking at the Lakers. I know LeBron has been very average since going to the bubble, but this is how I'm looking at the Lakers. I feel like LeBron has to average like 33 to 35 or 37 points a game for the Lakers to move on. I don't love the rest of their roster. I don't think the fit is great, but I do love Anthony Davis, and I think LeBron is doing everything he can to get AD going with his confidence. And the question is just this: can AD completely dominate a game? And that means when you dominate a game, it's never one-dimensional anymore. It's not you get in the post and you dominate there. For a guy like AD to dominate, he needs to be picking and popping. He needs to be picking and then driving the closeout. He needs to be posting up switches and getting small guys on him. When he gets to double team, he needs to be hitting Kyle Kuzma or Caruso or J.R. Smith or Deion Waiters for wide-open looks. So that's his next level of dominance. Right now, LeBron is force-feeding him, and he's delivering because he's been doing this his whole life. The next step of dealing with defenses and making coaches have headaches at night when they're watching film, like, what am I going to do? Things that LeBron has been doing his whole career. You do this, I do that. You take away this, I'll just counter it. And I'm always going to counter what you do because I'm a great player. Well, Anthony Davis, we know, is a great talent, and now he's starting to enter into the world of being a great player. I think the Lakers' title hopes all go through Anthony Davis and his ability to impact other teams' defenses, not just with his scoring, but also with his decision-making and his playmaking. And if he's getting guys, if Anthony Davis is getting 35 points and 7 assists, the Lakers don't lose. But if Anthony Davis is not at that level, I got the Clippers beating them. And I think the Clippers have the bodies to throw at LeBron, which will put way more pressure on AD. And by the way, coaches will be ready for Anthony Davis come playoff time. So if he's like, you know, listen, he was great against Utah, and I like the way that he was countering Gobert. He was taking small guys in the post and Gobert to the perimeter. But it's going to be the biggest challenge for AD's career is going to be this playoff run right here. And we'll have to see. Like I said, if he's passing the ball and making other people around him better, Lakers are unbeatable.
Scal, we took some calls earlier, and you know how that can go. People calling and say crazy-ish all the time. One of the callers today said, you heard it here first, Toronto is winning the NBA championship. Listen, they are a very good team, but I can't see it. I don't think they have enough firepower. What do you think of the Raptors? Is there enough there? Can they even get out of the East?
Yes, they can get out of the East. Because why? You watch the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, who's really convinced you out East that they're, like, the best team? When you watch the East,
yeah,
what team are you watching and you're like, this team right here is by far the best team? You know what? When I watch the Toronto Raptors, I say, like, They have no weaknesses. They don't have that one superstar on their team, but they have no weaknesses from a basketball standpoint. They execute offensively. Their coach is creative. Defensively, they get after it. They have size, and both their guys, Ibaka and Gasol, can stretch the defense and provide space. Defensively, they rarely make a mistake. They have freaks. Like, in Pascal Siakam is a freak of nature. He doesn't, no one knows it because it's Toronto, but he's a freak. He never gets tired. He runs the floor every single time. He guards the best player on the other floor. They have everything, so they can absolutely get out of the East. And the thing that the Bucks don't have is they can execute in the fourth quarter. The Bucks, man, they're a traffic accident in the fourth quarter, or especially in a tight game in the fourth quarter. They have to address some of these fourth quarter issues. Toronto does not. They know exactly what they want to do.
What's the biggest factor in that? You nailed it. I'm enjoying watching Toronto. What do you think's been the biggest factor in them remaining as competitive as they have without Kawhi? Is it Nick Nurse? Is it the front office? Is it Lowry and being able to step up? You mentioned Pascal. He's turned into a star. And OJ Anunoby, you know, in that new role, that kind of Kawhi role has been good. What do you think's the biggest factor in terms of them staying where they have?
I think it's the combination of Nick Nurse, really, like, he does some really advanced stuff, and the defensively and offensively trying different things. And yet you also have two players in Fred VanVleet and Kyle Lowry who are poised, and they've been around and know they never lose their cool. This is the hardest thing in the NBA. And I don't know if you guys play pickup or whatever it is. It's easy to go out there and be too cool for school and be poised and understand what's going on and execute. And, yeah, I'm out here, I'm shooting the ball, it feels good. But can you do that and play ball to the wall on the defensive end and then get back on the offensive end and be cool, calm, collective? And then you remember, there's 103 offensive possessions and 103 defensive possessions. I want you to go on, find me a possession where Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam, by the way, are not getting after it on the defensive end of the floor. And then look at the offensive end of the floor and look at 103 possessions where those guys are out of control. They're not. They're stars when it comes to playing with poise and playing hard on the defensive end of the floor. And so, like, when you have that, then you have a coach that knows that. And I want to know the opposite of this team is the Philadelphia 76ers. They look like I don't know what they're doing halfway when they're playing. You're watching. Like, what are you guys trying to do? What is your game plan right now? The Toronto, you know exactly what they're trying to do. And when they make a mistake, they look at each other. And they're like, they communicate. They are the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference when it comes to all the other stuff, except for they don't have Giannis, they don't have LeBron, they don't have Kawhi Leonard, but they have everything else on that team.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. Hey, Brian, man, this is great stuff as always, man. We appreciate the time.
Thank you, man.
Got it. We'll talk later.
Yep.
Got it.
He is Brian Scalabrine, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider. Catch him on ScalPals on Radio.com. These calls always brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oils made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.